Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we're going to talk, first of all, about the fires today. We've got another gigantic fire that's raging in California. It's called the Thomas Fire. It's 269,000 acres burning as of 50 minutes ago in the Los Padres National Forest, north of L.A., and it's been astonishing. I'll read a few quick bits of articles. This one from CNN. By the way, the Thomas Fire is the third largest wildfire in California history. It's, according to NC Web, 269,000 acres in size. A lady by the name of Jeanette Frescas was not concerned about the Thomas Fire until the massive blaze inched toward her neighborhood in Southern California. She said, "At midnight, I woke up with a flashlight in my face. I looked out my window, and there were flames that were 100 feet all around us." I guess she means 100 feet high. Like many residents, she was caught off guard by the fire that has been roaring into Southern California for 13 days. And there have been tens of thousands of residents who have had to pile into cars and that have fled from the third largest blaze in the state toward Ventura and Santa Barbara County. So these people are leaving Ventura and the Santa Barbara counties. This one particular lady said, what once looked like a paradise now looks like a war zone. And another lady, a Ventura resident by the name of Patricia Rye, woke up to her son-in-law pounding on her door. She didn't get a chance to pack any valuables. She fled her home of 17 years in the dead of night. She said, "I didn't have time to take anything, my wallet or any of my personal things. I literally left with the clothes on my back. I've been thinking I would have got into my car, but I wasn't thinking. So my car," she didn't even get into her car anyway. The fire is so massive, more than 8,400 firefighters are working around the clock to save lives. This fire is bigger than New York City and Boston combined. Now, we recently had a firefighter die fighting the fire, and you can watch videos with these fire engines lined up for miles. It's ghastly, of course. Authorities in California have issued a new evacuation order as the huge fire called the Thomas Fire flares up again in Santa Barbara County. The winds have had a lot to do with this. Fire apparatus engineer Corey Iverson was killed tackling the blaze last week, along with a woman who was in a car crash as she was evacuated. More than 8,000 firefighters are now tackling the blaze, which has destroyed 1,000 structures, including about 750 homes. Now, the California's largest fires are the Cedar Fire, 273,000 acres in October of 2003, the Rush Fire, 2012, 271,000 acres. Currently, the Thomas Fire is about 269,000 acres. The Rim Fire, 257,000. That was 2013. And a fire in 2007 called the Zaca Fire has pretty good statistics. I need to update my website on this information. I have a whole series of clips that I think I'll go ahead and play. Take me just a second to get all of this squared away. Just 1 second, folks. Excuse me.
Peter and Elsa, right now there are a number of flare-ups right behind us. I want to step aside so you can get a good look. There are 500 fire engines in there, and earlier we got an up-close look at what the crews do to protect homes. Tonight, firefighters lugged hose lines and equipment up a steep driveway.
We got this house handled.
To protect this home in the hillsides above Santa Barbara that was surrounded by 180 degrees of flames. Parts of the canyon along Mountain Drive lit up as dangerous north-to-south winds known as sundowners fed the Thomas Fire, where an evacuation order has been in place.
You see the fire, it's down cresting over that ridge.
But the Thomas brothers chose to stay put to defend their home in the Salida Oaks community. They have a water tank and pump on standby.
So if embers start coming over the house, we can fire this up and it'll keep the embers down from going across the street or into anybody else's property.
Earlier in the day, gusts in the canyons were well above 60 miles an hour.
Intense gusts that basically made the fire angry, and it just consumed up a lot of vegetation.
There was a lot of vegetation around this home on Mountain Drive.
So this is the fine line that the firefighters have to walk. They want to make sure that the flames get as close as possible to something that doesn't burn, like this walkway right here. And then they don't want to have any embers falling on that house, because if it does, well, we could have ourselves a very explosive situation here.
Back in Salida Oaks, the Thomases say they helped to save homes in their neighborhood during the Tea Fire of 2008. They've worked as seasonal firefighters, which is why they feel confident about sticking around this time as well.
We don't encourage anybody to stay unless they have any kind of training at all. You don't want to stay. That's foolish, because that's when you start getting hurt. We're here to not only protect our own home, but also to protect the neighbors' homes.
And the winds have just picked up, and you can see some of that blinking light on your screen right now. That is one of the many fire engines that is here tonight. Fire crews tell us that they've got fire engines along many of the homes in this area. A fire weather watch in Santa Barbara County is over, but it is still in effect for Ventura County. However, a wind advisory is in effect in this area until 3 in the morning. That's the latest from here. We'll send it back to you.
We have some breaking news coming into Shepherd Smith reporting. Officials in California have now confirmed the first firefighter death in the wildfires raging across Southern California. Happened during the Thomas Fire, which is burning in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. This is the fourth largest wildfire in California history. Still unclear exactly how the firefighter died. We know it was a male firefighter, and he was an engineer from San Diego. They have not released a name, and they say that the incident in which he died is still unfolding, so the details have not yet come in. We can tell you the Thomas Fire has burned 241,000 acres now. You can see the flames are still very difficult to control because the weather here has been very warm. And we can also tell you that it is still very near some homes in the Santa Barbara area, 241,000 acres. It has already destroyed almost 1,000 homes. As we get word about how that firefighter lost his life, we will let you know.
8,300 firefighters have been dispatched.
Cal Fire tells us this is the largest firefighting effort in state history. KCALN's Greg Mills was in Montecito, where homes are being threatened by the fast-moving flames.
Firefighters cutting fire breaks by hand and cutting down almost anything that'll burn here in the Montecito Hills. Anything to stop this Thomas Fire, which is tearing through Montecito, headed to Santa Barbara. This morning, one building burned. Firefighters say no homes burned. Santa Barbara station KEYT had this, and winds, they say, at hurricane strength.
And it was basically angry, angry fire.
Even when the winds calmed down, you could still see the flames and smoke reaching high into the sky. Larry Self and his cousin kept their eyes on this. What do you think?
Don't know. We're going to hang out and see what happens.
There are mandatory evacuation orders in place. Self's wife, left with their dog last night. He and his cousin stayed. He's lived here 38 years and seen plenty of wildfires.
We've been through it before, so I think we know when to leave.
This fire is already the third biggest in California history with no end in sight. Two people have died in this fire. Firefighters are doing everything they can to save lives and save homes. As you can see up there, fire is burning between every home up here in the hills above Montecito, right up to the property line, but firefighters are stationed at each home and stop it before it actually gets to the home. A fire truck in every driveway, 300 engines doing that, another 200 engines in this area. People pitching in too, but firefighters say efforts like these just don't work.
You're not going to put any fire out. It is like spitting in the wind.
They want people out of their homes and leave the firefighting to the pros. In Montecito, Greg Mills, KCAL 9 News.
Well, mandatory evacuation orders are in effect for the Sespe Creek and Burson Ranch areas near Fillmore because of the Thomas Fire. Joy Benedict is live along Sycamore Canyon Road in Montecito with the latest on the Thomas Fire. And Joy, we have really seen conditions change for you out there this morning.
Yeah, just in the last hour and a half or so, Amy, we've really seen these winds pick up. I was just talking to Craig about it. 65-mile-an-hour wind gusts up here in Montecito. That is bad news for a lot of reasons. One, they can't fly fixed-wing planes when the winds are that high. And then also because of the flames that are still working their way through the hillside, that can cause problems later on. But we are live right now along the 192, and I also have some new evacuation orders that went into place. All morning long, it's been evacuations only 192 north. Now they're saying 192 south here in Montecito, also under mandatory evacuation. And this is why. Just look up above. You can see the smoke that's really collecting, and we're certainly under a cloud of ash and soot and smoke as the fires are moving over into the hillside. I don't know if you can look over to the left-hand side. You see a lot of that smoke that's sort of coming from that direction. That is where the fire is burning right now. It is still up in the Los Padres National Forest, but it's coming up along Cold Springs Road. They're still quite a distance away from the homes. But look at this wind. I mean, this is crazy. As everything is kind of whipping around, that is the last thing that you want when you're dealing with a fire. We are, of course, at the Thomas Fire. This is day 13, folks. This fire has been burning for quite some time, and it has already become deadly as a firefighter lost their life earlier this week. A woman lost her life trying to escape the flames that very first night a couple of Mondays ago. The fire itself has burned 259,000 acres. Those are new numbers that came out early this morning. 746 homes destroyed, another 185 homes damaged, 8,300 firefighters out here working 24-hour shifts on, 24-hour shifts off, trying to contain this blaze and keep it from damaging any more homes or costing anyone else their life. But again, the evacuation area right now north of 192 in Montecito, Carpinteria, as well as Santa Barbara, and now south of 192, also in Montecito there, in the Montecito area, because of the flames that we've been talking about and what we can see out here. So the winds are coming and going. They're going to look calm for a second, and then they just sort of whip up, and that's the last thing you want in this fire, because that, of course, adds fuel to those flames and spreads them much faster than the firefighters want as they're trying to keep them away from the homes as of right now. But we have been talking about these flames this morning. So far, we should say no structures have burned this morning. No structures have caught on fire this morning. They are really just maintaining it. And Amy, we were up there a couple of hours ago where the flames are a little bit more now. I mean, it is pink everywhere. They did a lot of pre-treatment with the FOS check there along the roadside. They've got hoses already laid where they need to be laid to sort of stand their guard here against this neighborhood. And you can see all the trucks coming in behind me. This is where they're headed. They're headed to this area as they are going to take a stand as long as they can to try and save this neighborhood and these homes. You know, we're right next to the college here, Westmont College. There's just a lot of people who live here. Hopefully they are gone. They are out of their homes because if you haven't evacuated yet, you really need to. And it's not hard to see why. Right, Amy?
That's right, Joy. And we call those firefighters heroes for a reason.
December 14th, 2017. Hey guys, welcome back to another update video. And this update video is about the wildfires that's going on in Southern California. I think most of all the other fires are pretty much contained, except this one here. It doesn't say how much is contained. This fire here, the Creek Fire north of Los Angeles. Then we have this fire here, which I think is pretty much contained. It doesn't say how much is contained, the percentage. But we still have the Thomas Fire going on, and the Thomas Fire is 30% contained, and it has burned over 240,000 acres. And Santa Barbara isn't out of the question yet. We still have this section here of the Thomas Fire that's moving towards Santa Barbara. And if they don't get it, this section contained, it's going to be burning along these mountain cliffs here north of Santa Barbara. So, again, Santa Barbara isn't out of the question yet. So this road here, 33, is blocked off. Nobody can travel down on 33, or this section of 33 going down towards Oakview, 150 in this area here. People won't be allowed to travel down on this section of 33 there. So I found this article from Fox News, and the title is called "California Will Set More Fires to Try to Stop Wildfires." As we know that
December the 16th, 2017, you're looking at the latest information coming in from California. This is at 7 a.m. this morning, and it has to do with the Thomas Fire, one of the many fires we've seen. But now I think this thing's up to nearly the third largest fire in California history. And to be honest with you, considering the magnitude of the fire, there's not been a lot of national press. There's been some, but if you search it, now you're getting information in most cases that's a day or two old. But what you're looking at in this map, you've got Santa Barbara County to the left and Ventura County on the right. Mandatory evacuations, they are in this brown box right there. You can see where they're here, and they overlap throughout this region. These are mandatory. Now, these are in the hills above Montecito, guys, and they are having a lot of problems. We're going to look at satellite radar, and I'm going to show you why. But that is, it is on the border. You got mandatory evacuations there. Santa Barbara, you're directly in the line now.
I'm Brian May in the Cal OES Operations Center, and I want to give you an update on the Thomas Fire. Now in its 13th day, it is now the third largest wildfire in California history. And to get more on this fire and the activity today with the red flag warnings, we're actually going to go to the front lines, to guys who have been on the fire lines all week long. My co-worker Sean Boyd and Jonathan Goodell are both at San Ysidro Ranch in Montecito. And Sean, I want to start, just tell me kind of where you are and what you're seeing today.
Well, it is coincidental, I think, and maybe even a bit ironic that we are here at San Ysidro Ranch, which is a very historical location here in the Santa Barbara area. This is where Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy and the president got married. Well, not where they got married, but actually where they had their honeymoon way back in the 60s. This is San Ysidro Ranch. We have firefighters who are stationed out here right now, prepared to defend this historical location in what is really becoming an historical fire. We are in an area that overlooks or is overlooked by the mountains where this fire is burning right now. The smoke right now is at its very worst in the last week that we have been here. Firefighters, we have Cal OES engines right over here who are refilling their water tanks and are, again, on defensive measures. The wind out here has been incredible. It has been the windiest that we have seen it in at least the last 7 days. In fact, our hotel was evacuated today. There was a power outage, and the wind has created such a mess with the ash debris that is in the air. It's incredibly dangerous. We cannot breathe without these things, and every now and then you get that particulate matter.
coming up on this edition of Inside Look.
It has been burning for a week now, but the massive Thomas Fire shows no signs of letting up. That has now become the fifth largest wildfire in California history.
We're almost to 2018, but the 2017 fire season is still in full blaze. Southern California now feeling the heat.
Some scientists are saying Southern California is literally burning up.
We'll take you to the fire lines and show you how California's mutual aid system is once again coming to the rescue.
Without the support of some of the states that are in here helping us, I don't know where we'd be.
It was an alert that warned more than 12 million people of unprecedented fire danger in Southern California. We'll hear firsthand what prompted state officials to hit the send button. And we'll take a trip back to Northern California to get an update on the recovery progress from the October wildfires. I'm Brian May in the Cal OES Newsroom. It has been a busy week and a tragic week as well. On Thursday, a 32-year-old Cal Fire firefighter lost his life while on the line at the Thomas Fire, burning near Ventura and Santa Barbara. That fire is the number one concern for emergency managers, and going into the weekend, red flag warnings are saturating much of the state, from the North Bay to the Eastern Sierras and Southern California. The Thomas Fire, now the fourth largest fire in California history. It is more than 7.5 times the size of San Francisco, larger than New York City and Boston combined. Our Cal OES information team is all over the California December wildfires. Jonathan Goodell is in Santa Barbara to talk with us about mutual aid. Cal OES Deputy Director Kelly Houston is in the State Operations Center to talk with us about the wireless emergency alert system. But we begin with Sean Boyd, who is in Ventura County. Sean?
Yes, I'm here at the Ventura County EOC, where some of the managers here have received a copy of the alert that went out to select residents in the Santa Barbara area. This is what they heard.
Residents only are permitted to return to the Gobernador, Willingston Canyon, and Shepherd Mesa area beginning at 12 p.m. today, Friday, December 15th.
And that's just part of the message. It goes on. But while those select residents are being allowed back into their homes, the firefighters are wondering what's going to happen to the calm winds that they've enjoyed recently. Those are expected to pick up dramatically over the next couple of days. The Thomas Fire in Santa Barbara and much of Ventura County is relentless. At more than 238,000 acres, it's on its way to the dubious distinction of becoming the largest fire in California's long wildfire history. But firefighters are relentless too, having tirelessly worked to contain 30% of the Thomas. After a, quote, pretty good day Tuesday, with minimal fire movement, strike teams monitor the fire in neighborhoods above the Highway 192 corridor.
And again, now at night, just like the previous night, fire activity's picking up and we're doing some structures events.
Assistant Chief Mike Taylor knows the night has just begun. Around 3 a.m., he expects winds to shift down the canyon and threaten homes. He's just looking for the signs. What is it that you're looking for?
The smoke's our biggest indicator. Obviously, you can feel the breeze, but sometimes when you're tucked into these canyons, we can have wind here that's just around the corner, completely different. It poses a lot of challenges.
Experience tells him it's going to be a long night. Daybreak reveals fresh burn scars and flare-ups, big ones, that could add to the 930 homes already destroyed. Helicopters ferry Bambi buckets to and from canyons, dumping water on fires that continue to burn. More than 8,000 mutual aid firefighters are in on the battle, and more than 94,000 people have been affected or evacuated. The shelter here at UC Santa Barbara opened for many of them on December 6th.
And it's amazing when it all moves together like a big puzzle piece, it makes a big, beautiful recovery operation, and that's what we do.
Stephen Clapp says the evacuees here are emotionally drained.
Wow. What a dramatic thing going on right now. The Thomas Fire near Santa Barbara, California, is now up to 269,000 acres as of 50 minutes ago. What does this have to do with exopolitics? What does this have to do with the Meyer case. Well, one of the things that Billy has had prophecies about is the fires and the hurricanes in the U.S. And this is in contact report 215 line 223. It says, enormous firestorms and gigantic hurricanes will sweep over the USA and bring devastation and destruction and annihilation as from time immemorial has never happened before. So we're in uncharted territory right now with the destructive nature of these fires. What else does Billy have to say about this? As already mentioned, enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes will rage across America, while in addition, all the terrible effects of war will bring thousandfold death, destruction, and annihilation. It also says here that America's largest cities will be absolutely destroyed, and firestorms will cause great disaster and misery. So that's what we've got going on here, a devastating set of circumstances. And it's all been prophesied in the Meyer material. I keep going back to these. Let me run down some of the fires that have occurred over the past few years. The Rim Fire in 2013 burned 402 square miles. That was in Northern California, threatened the Yosemite National Park sequoia trees. Pony Complex Fire in Idaho burned about 150,000 acres. The Funny River Fire burned 193,000 acres. That's 302 square miles. That was near the Kenai Peninsula. The Carlton Complex Fire in Washington State burned in 2014, 256,000 acres, 390 square miles, an area four times the size of Seattle. That was the largest fire in Washington State, as far as I know. The Cold Springs Fire was a smaller fire, but I knew people that got evacuated there. The Fort McMurray Fire, also known as the Horse River Fire in Canada, was the largest in terms of area at 1.5 million acres destroyed. We saw Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria this year. We also had the Rice Ridge Fire in the Lolo Forest in Montana, which was 160,000 acres. That was in October of this year. We had some smaller fires in Lolo National Forest, Montana, which was 53,000. That was the Lolo Peak Fire, the North Peak Fire, Washington State, 55,000 acres. The Checo Bar Fire was 182,000 acres burned. And now we are dealing with this massive fire in Santa Barbara, which they're calling the Thomas Fire for one reason or another. So we've been kind of watching this and mapping this out over the years because it all kind of relates to the Meyer prophecies. And wow, stunning, astounding, overwhelming information. Who is Billy Meyer? Billy Meyer is a 70 or 80 year old man now who lives in Switzerland. He claims to have had extraterrestrial contact pretty much his whole life. He is a prophet. He's been telling us the disasters were coming because we live a lifestyle that's not in sync with the natural laws of the universe. Some of those natural laws, quickly, I'll try to throw out to you, include the law of love, which is a reverence. We should have a deep abiding reverence for nature, and we should be the custodians of nature. And we haven't taken proper care of our forests. We've stopped fires that would have burned some of the undergrowth. And so there's these gigantic areas of fuel for these fires because we haven't allowed the natural fires to kind of burn out the excess deadwood and things like that. So we've interfered with nature, and it really had a real negative effect. And I don't think we did it that particularly on purpose, but we're in a very, very strange place here on the earth. And we really need to get our hands or mind around what the creation is and what the creational natural laws are. The law of love reforms to the highest form of love. It's called effective love as opposed to romantic love. This law of love is very important. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. Love will forever be the purpose for our existence. Love and wisdom go together in the creation, it and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So love is so important. It's not a romantic love, but an effective love that's based on a stability, and it's based on a reverence rather than a romantic love, which can also be called a false love, an unstable love. The next law of nature that we should pay close attention to is the law of striving, which is the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. We should continue to strive, continue to work, whether it's a hobby, whether it's your self-improvement, whether it's your day job, whether, you know, just keep striving, keep evolving, keep improving yourself, because your striving really determines how much you enjoy your life. Probably the most important book in terms of striving is Billy's book called The Way to Live. And if you look on page 102, at least in my version, talks a little bit about striving. And striving, it says here, striving means delectation. Now, delectation is enjoyment. You could, a reasonable definition of it. A delectation in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. If you're striving, you will feel a sense of accomplishment and happiness and purpose in your life. And it's funny because there are those days where I'm less motivated to strive, and I'm trying to figure out exactly why that is. Why certain days I don't feel quite as motivated to strive. I think Billy refers to this as inhibited striving. It says, to be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction, if you feel affliction, it's related to sometimes inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness, grief, confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness, resentment, lies, self-deceit, reluctance for life. So look into your feelings. If you're feeling a sense of joylessness or grief, what I found anyway is to focus on your striving a little bit more. Create a schedule for yourself. Set some zeal, set some targets, some destination points, some goals. Work towards those goals. Let me continue here. It says, therefore, delectation, harmony, and happiness, as well as everything positive, as well as grief and everything negative, are in the end only the revelation of how pronounced the striving is in a life form. So the joy you feel, the grief you feel, is in direct proportion to how your striving is doing. It's called the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. So our life depends on striving. Depending on the degree of the strength of the striving of any single vision, it will assert itself in the world and prevail, or will fall, shatter, waste away, come to an end, and vanish. It's all about striving. Striving is our life. To strive, the striving does not end with death either, as the human being may assume, because striving is also included in the death. So even on the, when we pass over into the fine matter world and our spirit form takes our consciousness and the spirit form starts this process in the overall consciousness block where all the wisdom from our previous life is kind of distilled and summarized into its essences, and then these essences are stored in our new subconscious and they're stored by the spirit form. All of this is going on in the death process. And it says here the human being strives for the life and the death at the same time, because the Grim Reaper accompanies the human being to new life and new striving. So we strive in the death process, and then a new material life eventually begins again, and the striving continues. The death is an interlude between the two lives in the level of the realm of the other world, in which striving finds progress and keeps the life alive. So they're striving in the fine matter world on the death side, where there's striving in the material side. So one of the keys here, while you're striving to make it enjoyable for you, is that you have to follow the law of harmony. And what that means is when you're striving, don't become negative. Now, that's one of the things you have to work towards, is not becoming negative while you're striving, but remaining your state of neutrality. You have to be in a neutral positive state. If you go into negativity, you'll lose your sense of harmony. Your striving will stall out. You'll be kind of like you'll run out of gas. It's hard to describe, and I guess that's what happens to me sometimes, is maybe I fall out of the law of harmony and I'm not really aware of it. I just become more aware of not being so motivated anymore. Now, it's really interesting. I was reading today in The Might of Thoughts, and Billy was talking about some of the people that write, in the past, people that have written books on positive thinking and that sort of thing. And gosh, in my notes somewhere here, I know I came across this guy, and anyway, here's what, let me read what Billy says here. An extraordinary amount of nonsense is told and written directly in regard to positive thinking, and in fact, quite especially in esoteric form, such as by the writing obsessed esotericist Joseph Murphy, who killed himself. And I think I actually had his name in my notes, and I think I had found some stuff that he had on that had been posted online, because I think he came up with some stuff that was pretty good. Evidently, though, he lost his sense of harmony along the way, and he actually killed himself. And you know what I was thinking was about music, for example. If you say, and I don't want to get technical here, but I'll get a little bit technical. If you're playing, for example, in the key of A major, and in the key of A major, for example, C has to be sharped. Well, if you play a C instead of a C sharp, you're going to get the greatest amount of dissonance that you can possibly get. The greatest amount of unharmony or disharmony, and you're actually the closest you can be to playing the right note without being on the right note. That's the irony here, is you can be very close to the truth, but be off just this half step, and your life has the disharmony, you know? Like, in other words, you can be trying really, really hard, but if you're not doing it in a neutral, positive way, you will have the greatest dissonance internally within your thinking process, which I think there's some message there, some great profound message there. And I won't go try to look for that right now. I need to do that offline. Although the temptation is certainly there. But I believe it's Dr. Joseph Murphy. And I could be wrong, but I think that's one of the guys that I came across. Let me talk a little bit about cause and effect as well, because that's one of our creational natural laws, cause and effect. And I talked about the law of love and the law of striving and the law of harmony. But, and this is something I don't even have in my notes here, but the law of cause and effect, it says the principle of the universe is the principle of life. And this principle is the law of evolution through cause and effect. So we evolve through this law of cause and effect. The law of causality, whereby every single effect and every single occurrence and every single action and so forth has a preceding cause. So maybe that's one thing we can take with us in our thinking process, is to, for every effect in our life, try to trace back what the cause is, which is sometimes a challenge because we have unconscious thoughts, which I thought was, again, one of the most strange and interesting things I learned when I started studying this Meyer material, that we can have unconscious thoughts, man. They come out of our unconscious. We're not even cognitively aware of these thoughts. They're called automatic thoughts. And they cause a cycling of negative thinking because we've learned these synapses. Let me continue here. They ingrain themselves in our minds. One of my cats is playing with my feet now, so if I seem distracted, that's why. And he's going to scratch the heck out of me, I'm afraid, here. Anyway, every single occurrence and every single action and so forth has a preceding cause. And in accordance with this law, the human being himself or herself creates fairness or unfairness. And that's one thing he says in this book here, is that you are the master of your own destiny. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I create my good luck, my own good luck, and for that matter, my own bad luck. So we create fairness or unfairness, and indeed by means of our thoughts. So it's our thoughts. So we have thoughts which create feelings. Feelings then can create habits, good habits, if they're good feelings. And these good habits lead to good circumstances. Another thing about thoughts is your good thoughts can create good feelings, and feelings then also cause more thoughts to be created. Anyway, let me continue here. Creation, in contrast to that, only knows fairness because it is completely neutral, positive, equalized, and therefore knows no feeling-based or other impulsations which could be other than neutral, positive, equalized. So the only feelings that the universal consciousness has, the only impulses, are neutral, positive. We as human beings can be too negative or too positive and get out of balance. Therefore, neither revenge nor hate are inherent in creation. Rather, only love and harmony are inherent in creation, as well as freedom and equalizedness. And its laws and recommendations are laid out accordingly, quite in accord with its being. So the being of creation is goodness, love, peace, freedom, harmony, and equalizedness. But creation is not a heavenly father. So you are still responsible for yourself. Even though creation radiates love, we are still completely responsible for ourselves. Let me continue here. Recommendations are also laid out accordingly, quite in accord with its being, which is in goodness, love, peace, freedom, harmony, and equalizedness, and in turn creates the same from itself because it lives according to the law of causality, which it created. It has also determined this law for human beings. Consequently, he or she also lives according to cause and effect. However, the human being is a free reason, evolving itself according to its own will without any intervention in creation. So I think one thing it's saying here is that creation doesn't get involved in our evolution. So if you decide to take your own life, creation's not going to intervene. If you decide just to stop striving and be a bum, creation's not going to intervene. In terms of a human being in relation to creation, we are unknowledgeable beyond compare in relation to this creational universal consciousness, and is additionally not only obstinate, rather also quite capable as of doing as he or she likes according to his or her free will. So we human beings become obstinate sometimes. We're able to determine our way of evolution, which means that we can just come to a grinding halt in our evolution, and that's when we lose our sense of life and our sense of well-being. So your sense of well-being, your sense of life is all tied up into the law of love, the law of striving, and the law of harmony. Another important love is the law of prosperity and abundance. Every life form, and therefore also the human being, has everything in plentiful abundance in order to be able to live and evolve without having to live and want. Now, there are circumstances which occur, hardships and difficulties, which make it difficult at times, sometimes very difficult, to get to this point of law, the law of prosperity and abundance. You can have difficulties in your life where you have to really work hard in the law of striving and in the law of love and harmony. And I think we've all had those difficult times. But if you stick with it long enough, the principle is, if you are striving hard enough and you are in harmony while you're striving, that means your striving will be productive. If you fall out of the law of harmony in your striving, you'll be spinning your wheels. If you function under the law of love, then eventually you'll get prosperity and abundance. Now, the thing that's working against these principles on Earth is that we're violating other natural laws. Like, our planet is really only supposed to have about 500 million or a billion people, but we're close to 9 billion. So there are negative effects that come from that gigantic overpopulation. Some of these negative effects are related to these fires that we're seeing, and they're the side effects of the overpopulation. In a world where you had gigantic forests everywhere and a small human population, we could let these natural fires run their course, and then the dead wood would be getting rid of by nature, and the forests would continue to strive. and continue to flourish. But because we keep interfering with this and stopping the smaller fires, we got a situation now, I think, in the West where there's so much fuel for these fires. And once the fire starts, you've got a catastrophe. And I don't rule out the possibility that some of these fires are being created by people intentionally. Now, why would they do that? I believe we have a deep state here on planet Earth that does not have our best interests in mind. Who's the deep state? Maybe that might be something that we could look at really quickly. Yesterday, I was talking about the Deep Space Platform, which is also known as the Defense Support Program. And this is a series of satellites that are in geosynchronous orbit. So our planet is being observed around the clock, 24 hours a day. This monitoring process is worldwide. Virtually every square meter of ground is monitors. Also, the space around the Earth is being monitored. So this monitoring system is in America is the first step toward this Orwellian nightmare, horrifying, futuristic vision of total control over every human being on Earth. The vision soon signifies that we won't be able to take a step without being completely monitored. And what they want to do is implant chips in all of us. It's very interesting that they're requiring chips to be put in your pets. What they want to do is get us used to this notion, and they want to entail implanting a chip in every person. And once the chip is in there, they can, I think, probably just kill you very, very easily. I don't know exactly what's in these chips. I don't know exactly how they work. But I think it's all related to setting up this new world order again. The terrifying vision of the New World Order, which from ancient times was linked to prophecies about an animal with the number 666 exerting tremendous power. So this is what's going on in the world today. Very, very disturbing, I think. We've also got this whole idea of the New World Order, which I've talked about. The New World Order is related to the ancient religion of Babylon, where you had Tammuz and Queen Semiramis and Nimrod, which was the Babylonian Trinity. And it was very interesting that in the Babylonian Trinity, that the sun, Tammuz, was in effect said to die for the sins of humanity. They put him in a tomb, they rolled a rock across the tomb, and 3 days later, Tammuz was gone. We've heard that tale before in Christianity. The Babylonian tale was thousands of years beforehand. I'll let you interpret that as you will. The elite's plan for our future is a world government, a cashless society. I mentioned an Orwellian state. There is no free and open society in the Orwellian state. We'll have a brutal policy of draconian control through surveillance, misinformation, denial of truth, propaganda. It's very interesting. We're seeing the complete destruction of the natural world. Is this by chance? Is this through some kind of directed energy weapons? Can't tell you for sure, but I think it may be the case. The deep state is destroying our country. They do not have our best wishes in mind. They want a microchip population. Aaron Rousseau was one of the insiders that was killed. He says the elite wants a world government that is run by the bankers, and everyone is going to be given an RFID chip. All money will be related to that chip. All money will be associated to the chips, so the elite will just take the money out of your account if they desire. They want us to be the slaves to the elite. The elite government will have total control. This one world government will be run by the banking industry. The Rockefellers met with Aaron Rousseau before the attack on the World Trade Center. And Aaron Rousseau got to meet Nicholas Rockefeller, who told him much about the plans of the New World Order. So what I'm telling you is, to be an independent thinker, you don't have to just listen to the Meyer material. There are a lot of people that are telling you about the New World Order. I think the principles in the Meyer material will give you the best ammunition for keeping yourself in a state of health and prosperity, because the power of your thinking is incredible. You can affect your environment and your circumstances through your thinking. You are the forger of your own fortune. You're the master of your own destiny. You're the creator of your own good luck. What you think, you make real. What you think about yourself, you become. So start thinking good thoughts about yourself as well. Remember, tell yourself, I am confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony. I persevere, I persist, I endure, I'm satisfied, I'm calm. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers a ship. I promote, I clarify, I strengthen my own good thoughts. So anyway, that is the show for today. I'm working on about two or three guests. We should see the first guest pop up the 20th of December. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good day. Keep your eye on this fire in California. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.